Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I want to thank the deacons and everyone who helped here with the church Thanksgiving. I understand we had 85 plus people, so that's just wonderful that so many people were served from the community. A few other announcements to make today. If you didn't get one, we were handing out the Prepare the Way Advent prayers and customs. If you didn't get one when you came in the door, there's sitting back on the table there. You can get a copy for yourself. Advent candles, readers, if people want to sign up for that, please do so. Also, if you want to sign up for Christmas poinsettias, please sign up for those in the back. I want to make announcements that our annual fall congregational meeting will be held Sunday, December 4th, which is next Sunday after the service. Purpose of this meeting is to review the budget for 2017 and to nominate and elect officers for the coming year. Once again, we want to thank Reverend Tom Clifton here. He's been a real blessing to be kind of a regular person here. So thank you today for our communion service today. With that, we'll turn it over to Tom. Oh, one other thing I want to mention is with the Advent reading today, just like we did last year for the call to worship, there's a congregational participation in the Advent reading. I'll project that. So be prepared when Kathy's up here reading. Be prepared to read your part. It will be white with white lettering to do the Advent reading. Tom?
Today begins a journey, 4 Sundays in preparation for Christmas. 4 candles representing 4 Sundays. Each representing 100 years, 400 years waiting for the birth of Christ. Purple candles, indicating that this is a time of getting rid of things that we shouldn't be doing in our lives, starting over, making new ways, get rid of the bad old ways, begin the good ways that God wants us to live. But in the middle of Advent is a rose-colored pink candle. You know why? Why 3 purple and 1 rose color? Who knows why? Anybody? Because in the midst of all of our preparation and all of the work we do to get ready for Christmas, the rose-colored candle represents joy. In the middle of everything that we do is the joy of the Lord, and we don't want to forget that as part of our preparation for Christmas. And then on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, the Christ candle, the white candle. So this is the first Sunday of Advent. May it be a wonderful time for us to begin again our journey with God. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Let us join in singing together our hymn of praise on this first Sunday of Advent, 378. Wait for the peaceful thing.
Thank you.
we join voices and hearts together as we pray our prayer of confession in unison and our private prayers of confession in silence. Let us pray. Lord, our God, you have taught us that love is the fulfilling of the law. Forgive us for being too focused on the material parts of Christmas, and help us to keep the light and love of your Son foremost in our lives. As we enter the season of Advent, send your Holy Spirit upon us, forgive our sins, and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, so that we may love you with our whole being and love our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, we are made new. We are forgiven today. In Christ, all things are made new. And so we hear this assurance. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Confess what we believe together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In the holy mountain of the Lord,
each of us has been given something special, the power to bless. With a wink, a handshake, a good morning, a smile, a hug, whatever you do to bless, stand and bless those near you today.
Today, we light the first candle, the candle of hope, reminding us that Jesus was sent not only to be our Savior, but also to be our wonderful counselor, the one who hears our prayers with compassion and who offers guidance when we seek it. As we begin the season of Advent, we remember that our rest can be found in God, and through the gift of God's Son, our hope is forever restored. Begin our Advent journey. Help us to know that the abiding hope that comes from knowing that you will keep your promises to us. May we radiate that hope in everything we say and do. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hi guys.
Hello.
How's everybody today?
Great.
You didn't leave much room for me. I'm gonna sit under the table. How's that? Think about that. Okay. So, you had to stay a little bit longer than you usually stay today to hear this sermon, didn't you? You don't usually have to stay this long. Do you know why you had to stay this long today? because we wanted you to be, see the lighting of the Advent candle. We're talking about lighting the Advent candle today, right? Yeah. Do you light candles like that at home? Sometimes. Okay. So here's what I want to ask you. This is a test. What other kinds of light do we have besides candles? Okay.
Light bulbs.
Light bulbs.
Stars.
Stars.
The sun.
The sun. Yep.
Flashlights.
Flashlights. Good. Now here's another test question.
Yeah.
What are some other words for light? So easy, huh? What's
light?
Bright. That's a
good one. Bright's a good one. Shine.
That's a good one.
Lit.
Lit. That's good. Well, I think those are all great. You guys really have this down. I don't even need to be here today. You know what you're talking about. But I have to tell you that Jesus talked about the fact
that light
is love. What do you think of that? Does that make sense?
Somebody says yes, somebody says no. What do you think?
It actually kind of makes sense.
It actually kind of makes sense.
Let me ask you this. Do you think light could be happiness?
Yes.
Probably.
So this is where it gets tough. Do you ever think of something that symbolizes something, but it isn't really the real thing?
That's what we mean when we say that light is love.
Did anybody ever tell any of you, you are the light of my life? I bet you guys have all heard that. Somebody's told you that. No, nobody ever told any of you that? Oh boy, what a group I have today. No, nobody ever told you that.
People say better.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Maybe
somebody did. What that means is that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." And Jesus, what that means is that if you have the love of Jesus in your heart, you can bring light to the rest of the people in the world and the people in your family and the people on your street and your friends. Because Jesus' love in your heart is what makes your light shine. Does that make sense? And you know, we're going to get ready to sing a song, and you guys are going to sing it and teach it to us, and then we're all going to sing it. We might have to stand up. I might even have to stand up, and that might really be difficult. But I want to read something to you that's in the Bible about this song we're going to sing. Did you know that song you're going to sing came from the Bible? Well, it did. Here's what it says. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill cannot be hidden. Nor should people light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but put it on a stand and it gives light to the whole house. Let your light shine, so that everyone can see all of your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. How about that? Right out of the song. Huh. Who knew? So, what I'm going to ask all of you to do is to try to do something that brings light to somebody every day in Advent. Do you think you can do that?
Yes.
Think you can bring light to somebody?
Yes.
Do you? And I have a little tool to help you. What do you think I have?
Flashlight.
You got it. I have neon yellow.
Yellow.
And I have pink, and I have green, I have orange, I have tangled. So what colors would everybody like?
Yellow.
You got a yellow one? Somebody wants yellow?
Green.
Green. There's a green one falling out. We're going to have a bunch of tangled knots here. This is not smart.
Oh, I have pink.
Somebody wants a pink one? There's a pink one. Can you have that neon yellow one? There you go. Did you get a green one?
Yeah.
Now you did. Everybody get one?
I would like pink.
You would like pink. Gee, that's a surprise. Look at you. You're all dressed in pink. Huh? Color, Sean?
Orange.
There you go. Look at that. So now you all can remember. And do you see what that says on the, what does it say on the flashlight?
It gives love.
Thank you very much. That's right. Jesus is the light and the way.
Jesus is that light.
That's right. Jesus is that light. And we want you to spread Jesus' light, okay? Can we say a little bit of a prayer before we sing?
Yes.
Jesus, dear shepherd, bless these precious lambs. Help them to see your light, to have your love in their hearts, and as only children can do, to spread that love to all around them as we think of your son who came to us in the form of such a small child. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
You ready to sing?
Yes.
Okay, you're right. You have to stand up for that.
I'm going to see my flashlight.
Okay, you can use your flashlight. That's a great idea.
I'm going to ask you to take my
It's nice to see Presbyterians clap and smile and sing. Would our elder come and share with us now our prayer concerns for the day?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning, we'd ask that you please be in prayer for Lorraine Kelly and her family. Lorraine has a tumor in her right lung, which involves her lymph nodes. She will need to undergo chemo and radiation therapy, and she will be seeing an oncologist in early December. Sandy Salmon is asking for a prayer for a friend of hers, Marie. Marie fell, and she's in a lot of pain, so please be in prayer for Marie. Arlie is asking for prayer for a Pam Marshall and family. Prayers for comfort that Pam's mother passed away on Friday. Then we have a couple praise requests. They're basically both to the deacons and everybody who came out to help. Connie Wagner first would like to thank everyone for the work in putting on the Thanksgiving Day dinner. And then Mabe and Tom asked if I would ask all the deacons to stand up and so we can acknowledge you and for the great job you did for the dinner.
We with these requests and those things in our hearts that we need to share this day, let us go to prayer. O God of justice and peace, from the heavens you pour down mercy and kindness, that all upon the earth we may stand in awe and wonder before your marvelous deeds. As we begin Advent today, raise our hearts and heads in expectation, that we may wait and work and yearn for the coming day of the Lord. Awaken us from our sleep and from the apathy that neglects to love. Save us from the frenzy of life misdirected. Awaken us now to your coming and bend all of our angers into your peace. We pray for those who've been lifted here before us this day. We give you thanks for the wonderful work of those who served and cooked and made meal preparations for Thanksgiving. And we lift up to you the names that are upon our hearts. We pray for Pam Marshall and her family, the loss of a loved one this week. We pray for the friend of Sandy's. We pray for Marie, for any others that may have been named, and for all of those who sit upon our hearts this day, and for every person who waits for your love and grace, for your comfort, and for your healing. So now today, as Advent begins, give us ears to hear, eyes to watch, that we may truly know your marvelous presence in our midst. Be with us as we take every step along the way in these days of preparation and anticipation of your coming again into the world. Hear us in our prayers and bless us as we remember the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare for the table later in this service today, and as we continue to worship now, let us rise and join in the singing of our hymn number 508, Come to the Table. Thank you. Now may we truly worship God in spirit and in truth as we bring our gifts, our tithes and offerings.
You're good at this. Okay. Our first scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up against sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Sounds like our anthem this morning. "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect."
Let us pray. Cleanse our hearts, O Lord, and enlighten our minds, that your word may be truly proclaimed, and that we may truly receive in faith. Amen. Well, Audrey and I were watching a movie or a show of some kind not too long ago and on TV, and there was a part of the show in which one of the persons was talking to another who was, quote, religious, and the speaker said, "You know, I really focus on the world and the here and the now. I'm not a religious person because I choose to focus on here and now and the world today. And I thought, well, there are people who think that, but they've never been to Advent. Yes, yes, Advent anticipates the future. That's true. That's very true. Advent has one eye on the horizon, looking, waiting, anticipating for what is to come. That's true. If you watched and read the scripture this morning that was just before us, Isaiah's scripture says, in the days to come. And in the New Testament reading, Jesus says, but about that day and hour. You see, in both instances, we are given a glimpse of the future, what will happen, a preview of coming attractions. Isaiah's beautiful vision that we heard this morning is one of all of the nations of the world streaming into Zion to be taught by God. It's a vision of nations laying aside their conquest of each other. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's Isaiah. And Matthew's vision includes Jesus saying that there are two men in the field. There are two women at grinding grain. One is taken, one is not. So, do we focus on the future? Guilty, as charged, yes. We certainly do. People of faith have a shared vision of a new world. A world different from the world in which we live in. Now, some people, I believe they're very sincere and earnest. Some people have, through history, tried to set dates for when the end is going to come. And it will probably happen again. It will probably happen again. We've seen this in recent days. Someone sets a date and says, on this day, this month, and this year, the world is going to come to an end. But we're still here. The world is still turning and nothing has happened. And then, of course, there are those who follow the teachings of John Darby, a 19th century Irish clergyman. If you turn on your television or your radio, you will hear preachers get into Darby's teaching about the Battle of Armageddon and all of the fighting that's going to happen and all of the nations that are going to be embroiled in the end of the world stories. And they have charts and show you how all of these things are going to happen. But I'm afraid that Mr. Darby knows too much. You may have seen the bumper stickers, by the way. One says, in case of the rapture, that's one of Darby's big words, we're going to have this rapture. A word that's not in the Bible, never appears in the Old or New Testament. When the rapture comes, the driver of this car will disappear. Which caused other bumper stickers to appear that says, when the rapture comes, can I have your car? Jesus is so very clear, I think, was in our reading today. No one knows, neither the angels in heaven or the Son. Only God the Father knows when the end will come. But still, we do live in hope. We have one eye on the horizon, one eye on the future. This beautiful day is coming. Isaiah proclaims it. The nations will stop fighting. They'll beat their swords into bathtubs. The nations will stream into Zion everyone will learn the ways of the Lord. Jillian of Norwich, who lay dying, had a vision of Christ, and she said, Christ said to her, all will be well. All will be well. And all manner of thing shall be well. We believe that. That's part of the Christian hope. That's the first note of Advent. The day is coming when everything ugly will be made beautiful. The day is coming when everything wrong will be made right in God's way and in God's time. But our hope, our looking forward to that, is also balanced. There's another piece of Advent, and that is the piece that says that strong hope is anchored by equally strong focus on today, on the world that we live in right now. You know, even in New Testament times, we see this in our New Testament. There were people in the early churches that said, well, since we know what the end is going to be, we'll just sit back and do nothing. And Paul has to write to this church and say, oh, no, no, no. You cannot just sit back and be lazy. If you don't work, you don't eat. And that's all wrapped up in those who said, now I don't have to do anything at all. The fact is, every time the Bible gives us a future hope, there is almost always a clear call to live life fully right now. Because God owns the future, we can live today. Hope does not blind us from the present. It empowers us. We are given power and courage to live today because we have this hope for tomorrow. And empowerment is exactly what we need. We need this empowerment. We need to know that the life that we have, the life that we were given, is the only life we're ever going to get. Now, that can be difficult to realize. We might want to be in someone else's skin. We might want to have lived at some other time. But this is the life we're given. The life you are living now is God's gift to you and to the world. It's the only life you're ever going to get. There is no other. And there are two things that can mess us up really big. One is to live in unresolved regret. To wish that we had done something different somewhere along the line and let that cripple us and stop us from living the life that God has given us. That's why confession is so important, that we do that every Sunday. We do that corporately. We do that silently. We let the past be our teacher, but just the teacher. Never let it cripple us and bind us and keep us from living the life that God has given us. God forgives us of the past, and we need to move on from it, letting the past be a teacher, but never letting it be our master. And the other danger we always face is to live tomorrow rather than today. We do that with our anxiety and fear. We let our minds and our hearts race 100 miles an hour into tomorrow, next week, next month. And we live in terror sometimes. The phone rings. Well, what's wrong? Why did my phone ring? I'm afraid to answer the phone. We go to the doctor and we think, oh, I can't stand going to the doctor. The doctor's going to tell me something I can't bear to hear. Anxious worry about the future can cripple us, as well as regret and remorse over the past. The fact is, in Advent, we are called to live each day. How does Isaiah put it? It was in these wonderful words. He says, come, let us walk in the light. Today, live in the light. Sing in the light. Love in the light. Serve in the light. Forgive in the light. Be fully alive to your life, walking in the light that God gives us today. And Matthew has Jesus saying, what? Keep awake, Jesus says. Fully alive. Be ready. Hope empowers us, you see, to do exactly that. To be awake to all that is. To be aware of all that is happening around us. Regret will keep us from living in the now, and anxious worry about tomorrow will steal today from us as surely as we breathe. Advent calls. Advent calls. Stop living in the past regrets. Let the past be your teacher, never your master. Stop living in the future and let go of the burden of anxious worry. All will be well, and all will be well. Advent calls. Get up every morning. Notice what's going on. Watch. Keep your eyes peeled. Walk in the light. See the opportunity for each day given to love, to forgive, to learn, to give thanks, to serve. Write the letter. Knock on the door. Make the phone call. Give yourself away. Live every day fully and completely in the light that God gives us. There's a football expression, and if you didn't play football in high school, you won't get it, but maybe someone else did. The coach says, leave it all on the field. Leave it all on the field. Don't let anything be saved up. Play the game fully and completely on the field, and let yourself completely be expended as the whistle blows at the end. I think Pitt may have done that yesterday. And when God comes, or when the end, our end, comes, you will be ready. You will not be afraid. You will be wide awake, rejoicing for all that is yet ahead. Amen. The word having been proclaimed this day, let us prepare to come to the table. We join together singing as we are seated the first two stanzas of number 460, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
heard without the microphone, or do I need? Does anyone? You do need. Okay. I only have hearing in one ear, so I understand.
We gather around the table now. Here are the words of the institution. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Remembering the generous love of Jesus Christ, we take this bread and this cup, and we celebrate the living and dying and rising again of our Lord Jesus Christ as we wait in hope for his triumphant return. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to God to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to Christ's service. Let us pray. Oh God, we gather around your table with thanksgiving for your gifts, our gifts of life and strength and encouragement and healing. We thank you for this bread, for our Lord Jesus Christ and his gift of broken body that brings healing to our world. And with thanksgiving and joy, we break this bread and share it together in remembrance and in communion with one another. Amen.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
And Bethlehem means house of bread. How appropriate that our Savior was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And that in and with this bread today, we give thanks for his coming and bless his name. Take, eat, all of you. Same manner Jesus took the cup and shared it with his friends. This is the cup of the new covenant, a new beginning, a new relationship. May you find at the table this day, in the sharing of this cup, a new beginning, a new warmth, a new dedication, a new presence of Christ in your life. Ministering in his name, we share this cup. We've never done this before, so that's the way life is. It's messy, isn't it? Our tables are messy places. We come to take this cup now, not because we are perfect, but because Christ is, and he invites us into his family, just as we are. Take, all of you, and drink. We now continue in worship as we rise and sing hymn number 364, lift up the gates eternal.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the strength and power of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore.